You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Jackie Cote. Jackie shares her story with me of being fired from a job and why she now describes that as the best day of her life. I know, not what you think of when you think about getting fired. We talk about what her looks like today. She's a coach and a full-time nomad, and we talk about what it looked like then. So we talk about staying in a job even when you know you're unhappy. And because she's a full-time nomad, I ask her what is the most inconvenient thing about living in an RV. So are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. Jackie Cote, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Oh my gosh, yes. I've been dying to do this one with you.
I love it. So starting off with a question that's going to be a lot of fun, I ask everybody who's on the show, what part of the world do you call home?
That's always an interesting question for me since I'm a full-time nomad with my husband and my two pups, and we've been doing that for 4 years. And so technically my license has a South Dakota address but you only have to live in South Dakota for 24 hours and you can walk into the DMV and hand them a receipt for your stay and get an address. So that's our technical, but we're currently stationary in Colorado, Gypsum, Colorado, which is no man's Colorado. It's at the bottom of the ski mountain, but nowhere near Denver, nowhere near Grand Junction or Colorado Springs, like the known places of Colorado, but it's beautiful and gorgeous. And we live on a river surrounded by mountains. Can't complain. But I'm originally a Jersey girl. So
originally a Jersey girl.
Yeah.
Right.
So Jersey, but I lived in Virginia longer than I actually lived in New Jersey. I'm very much, when I talk about being the freedom mentor, I'm a very freedom life kid. Like I was the baby of eight. So I just ended up moving and traveling and doing stuff my whole life instead of settling down and doing the 2.5 kids picket fence thing like all my family did. So Jersey, Virginia, and now nomadic.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I knew about the nomad, at least in the past. You and I have a little bit of, we know each other in real life. Mm-hmm. So that's a real thing. So I knew you had done it. I didn't know if you were still doing it. I didn't know you were a Jersey girl. It makes a little more sense why you and I get along so well. All right. So in a second, we're going to start the official interview, but I have one more question to ask you before we get started. It's a warm-up question. Share with us, me and the audience, a little about you that's not your family or your job, but a hobby, a passion project, something you're into that lets us know a little bit more about you.
Oof. That's another interesting question because I just love what I do is being me for my work. And so just the traveling piece, the being spontaneous, the going like in a drop of a hat and be like, sure, I'll go do that. Like, and across the country and jump on a plane and go do that. And that's just always been, I mean, I remember I graduated college, I tried to get a real job and my friends at TGI Fridays, when I was waitressing, I was like, hey, we need a roommate for Arizona. I'm like, okay, I'm in. And I'm like, barely knew them. So I ended up going home, telling my parents, all right, I'm moving to Arizona. And I'm the baby of eight. So they're like, sure, do whatever, you know, have fun. Like they were tired after eight kids. So,
eight, I can only imagine. The joke with kids is like the first kid, you like are sterilizing everything. You're super, super careful. The second kid, I forget how that goes. But like the third and fourth kid, it's like, you know, the toys fall on the ground and the dog picks it up and gives it back to them. And you're like, thank you.
Yes. Yes.
So
yeah.
I can only
the
imagine.
Best is when you see a parent like lick the Bicky themselves and just kind of hands it back to them. They're like, oh,
I think at least that's parent involvement. I think when you've got eight, it's like a totally community event. Even you've got four, it's like the parent is not involved. The kids are like, you know, you look over,
oh,
you're like, thank you for making yourself a smoothie, you know.
So self-sufficient. I'd get to school on my own, all the things. Yeah.
All the things. Absolutely. All right. So the topic of the day that you proposed is being fired from a job in 2018. Are you ready to talk about that today?
Heck yeah. It's one of my favorite topics. Best day of my life.
See, I love that. I love that because I have asked other people in other interviews as a wrap up funny question, have you ever been fired? Because I think that it's a thing that we lay out as being an unavoidable thing. But I think a lot of people, most people have a firing story in their past and some of them are dramatic and some of them are not. Before we talk about the best day of your life when you were fired.
Yeah.
If I had gone back and asked you in middle school or high school, and said to you, as people do then, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? What would you have said?
Middle school and high school. I don't know, like when I was a kid, I would do these little like, who's your hero? Who's your person that you look up to? And my sister at the time was a cashier at ShopRite in Jersey. And I wrote that I wanted to be a cashier at ShopRite and be just like my sister. So that was my big striving goals when I was younger. And then I saw my stepsister, who was super successful too, and like be like, get out there. And like, she was a purser on a cruise ship for 6 months. And then she was, and then I watched my stepmom be a travel agent. And so I think like I was somebody who was just intrigued with anything and everything. So I tried, but then when I went to college, it was almost like I didn't really have to go to college kind of thing, but I did it because everyone was doing it,
Yep.
and I paid for it myself. So I was like, well, I'll just do it because I get to take care of it anyway. And when I got out, I tried to be a teacher. I tried to be an elementary education teacher. And within 1 year, I was like, peace out. Can't do this. Not my style. Like, I ran out. Like, I looked at the woman who's tenured and she was miserable. And I was like, okay, that cannot be me. She was like, I can't do that. And I picked up into the restaurant industry. And so I think when I was 15, okay, so there's the moment. When I was 15, I was handed the keys to the Italian bakery in Jersey, the little like, and I was getting paid cash under the table, $4. Let's age myself. And they said, run the shift. And I know that now it's illegal at 15 to give somebody the keys post school and let them run it and money and everything. But they saw something in me, and that started this mini like aha, like addiction to like wanting to lead people and help people and serve people in that capacity. And so the restaurant business kind of swooped me up the rest of my life, and I was in leadership management. So that was my favorite job. That little bakery, we would shut
You
the
were
door, and we were the
15.
best team. Yeah, we were the best team they had. They got cameras after we left because they didn't trust anybody after us. But we would play baseball with the cupcakes. We would play like at the end of the night. We would do all this like stuff, but we'd always clean up, and then the money was perfect and everything was good and we were safe. And so that was that got that showed that someone believed in me on the ability to lead others, the ability to like, be in charge and that stuff. So
So yes, so you were getting paid cash. You were like, this part is illegal, but so is that, Jackie. So you were paid $4 under the table. I forget when it was, but it was a couple of years ago. One of my kids was complaining about like their hourly wage, and I was like, let me just tell you, my first job. I think my first job was like $3.75 or something like that. Ridiculous, right? Because it was like a summer job. I don't even think it was real. I don't even know. And here's the other thing. I felt like I had plenty of money, like getting that like little tiny paycheck. I was like, yay.
I saved enough money to buy my first car at $1,000. I walked and got my way to work every day myself until I got that car. And that car was a 1972 Volkswagen Rabbit piece of crap, apple green, rusty bumpers. And I love that thing. That got me through high school, college. And I always say, like, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's your perspective on it, right? And I always was able to just make the best of what I had in that capacity. Yeah, so $4 went a long way
It went a
for
long way. I don't think you could
me.
do it would not work that way
No,
today because everything is
no.
so much more expensive. But it was pretty great. It was pretty great. And so there we go. All right. So we're going to talk about being fired from this job in 2018. But is this the only job you've ever been fired from, or had you been? Have you? Are there other experiences where people are like, "Hey, Jackie, no, not for you."
So, yes, and it's funny, I don't talk about this one as much because when you said earlier it could be dramatic or it could be this. I worked for Starbucks for 6 years, and that was kind of a dramatic letting me go because it was something that just didn't make sense in my head. I was like one of their top people, and then there was a money situation, some missing money, and I was again in leadership, running restaurants, op I mean running the Starbucks, opening it. It was like the only drive-through we had at the time, and that was like a state. So it was the district manager came in and was bawling because she had to let me go because of this like miss this missing money, and then something was wrong with the safe and stuff, and she's like, this is ridiculous, like you. But I was one of the highest paid people, and
Yeah.
they could get two people for the price of me. So there's kind of a little bit of stuff behind it, and I'm not dogging Starbucks as a company, saying at the time it was just something that they It was, again, divine timing. I look back, and if I didn't do that, then I wouldn't have done the next thing and the next thing, which led me to where I am today. And so I look back that everything has happens for a reason. But at the time, we had just bought a new house. My husband lost his job, and he was replacing his job. So we were just like, "What
Yeah, no, absolutely.
the?"
Absolutely. No, that is a thing that you don't realize, I think, when you're younger, that there is a cycle in companies that are very employee driven, that they've got a bucket of money that they use for wages, right? And as the employees get more expensive, that bucket doesn't always grow at the same time. And so a lot of businesses go through that, grow your employee base and then weed it out and restock from the bottom, just like little league teams, like the youngest players, there's always lots more of them. There's always lots more of them because they're at the bottom, they're younger. Yeah. So that is definitely a thing. All right. So what is the job that you had in 2018 that you were fired from?
So, like I said, I kicked off my whole restaurant like journey really early on. 15 bakery running that. Then I worked for some waitressing and serving and bartending jobs. Then I was a manager in the dining hall and the cafeteria. And then I just ended up moving into, and then I moved to Arizona for a couple of years and California for a couple of years. And in California, there's this company that saw me waitressing and was like, "We want you to be a manager for us." So that scooped me into like the lead, never went back to, which is crazy because I was making like $500 a night and I went back to like a $10 an hour job to like be a manager for them. But there was something in that piece of being able to manage, being able to help people move to the next level. I got really addicted to helping other people like train, develop, see the potential in them, hold the gift of belief up for them until they got there, and then help, and then it would get to that point, and then I'd keep helping them move forward. So that kind of got me really hooked into being a manager in restaurant companies like Chevy's Mexican Restaurant, Outback, TGI Fridays, Starbucks, and then Potbelly. And then when I got into the fast casual side, I did a lot of restaurant openings for them, for Starbucks, Potbelly. Then I landed in Cava Mediterranean restaurant, which is an amazing, amazing restaurant, fast casual concept. And I took a different, I left Potbelly, which I loved, loved, but I wanted a challenge. And so I went to a corporate office position. And I tell you that part because putting somebody who is so operational driven, so into their people, so into like training development and creating leaders and changing people's lives. And then you put them in a corporate office, it's like putting an animal in a cage. And
Sure.
I was like, it's a challenge. I want to learn new things. And it was like pushing, it was putting that circle into the square, like for 2 years straight. And plus I had leadership that was my mentor, like my mentor for that very much was into the, like, you come really early, you stay really late, like just didn't have the life part. She was definitely somebody who really wanted to be a hard worker, and she was, and she worked really hard, but it wasn't a good representation to what I believed in that I had learned in. I taught managers how to get the job done in 40 hours, even though our contract said 55. Like I was like, "No, you get to work smarter, not harder. We get to like lead through our people, and we get to work together as a team." And so in this job, like I learned, it's funny. When I got to this, I didn't know what Zoom was. I didn't know what Google Drive was. I didn't know what all these like fancy, which are not so fancy now, but like these things are like, I didn't know how to do all this stuff. I used the systems of the restaurant I worked with.
Right.
And so it taught me begrudgingly how to create learning materials, how to create all these things. Well, fast forward 2 years in, they had merged. They didn't have enough people to do all the positions. And so they let me go based on like a needs improvement. I was for the first time in 30 years of this industry, I was a needs improvement. And I was like, what the frick is that? Like
So you
I'm,
mean they like on your performance appraisal, they're like, the reason for this conversation is there are things that could that you're doing that need improvement as opposed to, okay, yeah.
And it was a good like 9 months. The last 9 months, they kept like kind of feeding that in, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm really good at what I do. Like, if there's anything I'm confident in, but I did move into a different part of something I didn't know, and so I started like traveling for them and doing restaurant openings is where I was so good at, and then they put me back in the office, and I like it was just a weird. It was something that was just happening exactly what was meant to happen, so that when the day happened, there was no surprise. But 2 months previous to me getting let go in August 2018, I had met the coaching industry, And I remember seeing a friend online going, "Why are you really happy all of a sudden?" Because we were both like unhappy in our corporate jobs because we both left the operations. He's like, "Okay, imagine taking all the things you're really good at and like pulling all that out and getting rid of all the BS, like people telling you when you have to work and how much you can make and all that other stuff." He's like, "Just imagine." I was like, "That sounds too good to be true." And I was like, "What is this wonderland?" So he introduced me to the company that I got my life coach and health coach with. And I went back, I signed up immediately and I went back to school, quote unquote, you know, and I hadn't been in school since 94, you know. And I saw that showed me the possibility, like what was possible, but I wasn't ready to jump right in, go full time and like, let's build my business like cold turkey. I was
Right,
like,
so
I'm
let's
gonna
pause just a second. Let's pause just a second because you lived it, so you went through it. But I'm going to slow you down so that we really get the things here. So you had been in the restaurant industry, all kind of things, but in this 2018, you had been working for a couple of years. They had moved you from the forward-facing, like team building, restaurant opening to a very, very corporate, in the office, long hours every day job, and you knew you were unhappy. And so what did you, to back up a little tiny bit, what did you study? What was your like course of study when you were in college?
I was a elementary education major and I was a
Okay.
psychology minor.
All right,
So
so and that works. Like, so you, and that's why you went into education, and then you were like, oh, wait, no.
yeah.
All right, so back to the restaurant. I'm so that's the two things probably have common elements in them, but that's a conversation for another day. All right, so you they had been giving you performance appraisals and feeding you, so there's an undercurrent of dissatisfaction because they were already telling you, we see spots where needs improvement, and you were like, no, I'm amazing. This is not okay. So that's a sign of a well-oiled HR machine that's like it cannot be a surprise the first time you tell the person they're fired because they weren't doing their job. Yeah.
Well, I also like I was willing to like adjust for them, and I was willing to like, okay, what do I need to learn? Like I'm
Yeah.
someone who wants to make it work, you know, and I really do. And it just didn't make sense. They kept putting me like this person in their strengths, like in this they put this person in what was my strength, and then this person over here in what was their strength. Like wait, they put me in what this person was doing, and it was just so like it didn't make sense. I'm like, put us where our strengths are. Like let us work as this like well-oiled machine, but they kept putting us in reverse. This person over here is miserable. This person over here is miserable. I'm miserable, and like everything was happening that was not aligned with what could have been a really well-oiled machine. But yeah,
All
it was
right.
not, it was pushing the boulder up a hill for that whole time.
All right. So we're going to talk a second. So you run into a friend who gives you the introduction to coaching. Are you still employed when you sign up for the training, the coaching training?
Yeah, that was
Okay.
June 2018.
So you're still
And
employed.
yep.
When you, okay, we're going to talk a second about what you do when you're fired, but I'm really curious if you put yourself in the mindset, because you said unaligned and you described that, you were not thrilled in this position at the time. Back to the moment when you had invested this couple of years with this job and you're obviously a very motivated, driven person. When you were fired, can you describe how you felt like just in that moment in just a couple of words? Because today you say it's the best day of your life, but in the moment, how did it feel?
It was a little numbing. I sat there with the okay, because they bring you into the room. I drove my 2.5 my 2 hour commute through DC, and I get there and I come up my normal day, and they're like, "We have a meeting," and I had nothing on my calendar. And brought me into the room, and you see the paperwork, and you see the person sitting there from HR, and so you kind of know, but you're also still kind of what's going on, confused. And then they walk you out like a criminal, like literally, like after I signed the paperwork, they're like, "Let's go to the desk, let's pack your stuff up." And like, I couldn't go say bye, like, I couldn't talk to anybody. Like, I literally had two people on my sides, like, I was gonna go postal or something. And I was just very, like, okay, matter of fact, grab my stuff, package it, took my computer, and walked me down to the stairs. And I left. And I will tell you, Amy, like, my shoulders felt so lighter when I left, and I didn't
Okay.
understand that piece. So when I got down the stairs and I started walking back to the garage, I was like, why do I feel good?
Okay, so
And
that was right away.
right away, like I was crying. I don't know, I didn't say this part, but I cried in my car every day before I went into work. I
Okay.
legit like would sit in my car and be like, okay, I don't want to go in there again, but I'm gonna, because you know this is I'm gonna figure this out. And but I wasn't happy or ready. Like almost every day I would cry, like or get emotional knowing I had to go back into the place. So I was in a very unhappy state. but I was going to make it work because I'm that, I got it, girl. I can do this. And, but when
So
I
yeah,
left,
like
I felt
looking back,
free.
why did
I
you
felt
stay?
free.
Why were you staying? Was it like just you already had it? Like, what was the reason you had not like walked in and been like, no?
It's one of those, one, you see the potential because the company has grown. I mean, it's done a phenomenal job.
Okay.
And it's grown. So I saw it was a, when I came on, they were only at like 18 restaurants, and we had opened, we got them to like 80 restaurants at that point. And it was exciting at times. Like when I left the corporate office and went out with the teams and worked with the people in the field, that was a good part. Then I realized I was gone for 8 months a year, and then I left my husband, like who was my boyfriend at the time, but just we had no connection. My relationship started going downhill. I didn't realize this until I got fired and went home that my health was a mess. Like there's things that I just was ignoring, but I was making it work. Have you ever been so into something where you're like I'm really good at this. Like I know I can make this work, even though it's not. So like I'm just gonna figure this out. I'm gonna fix it.
That's the I want
And
yeah. So I because you obviously like you had you're able to make that decision. The evidence is there. You had been a teacher and you'd been unhappy and you had seen it and you had said no. And so in this thing, that's the reason I wanted to ask the question. It's like you were in it, and what was the connection to you not pulling the plug until somebody else did? So you knew you were unhappy, but what I hear you saying is that you believed it was a good company. It was exciting at times, and that you were trying to be the person, be the best you could be, maybe is what it was like.
Well, yeah, and it's what you know. I knew for 30 years. Like, this is what I knew, and I didn't know what else was possible until
Okay.
I explored that the coaching side of things. Like, I didn't understand what else I could do with my skill set, what else I could do. Like, I mean, girl, I was really good at everything restaurant business, like from soup to nuts. And I didn't realize that I had other opportunities that I could go pursue. Like, we get stuck in the known because it's safe. Right? It's
Yeah.
safe to stay here. So even though I was unhappy, it was still safer because it was known to stay in that industry. And that's why I say,
It's a tricky quicksand thing, the comfort and the known, the comfort of the known or
Yeah.
the perceived known. Absolutely. All right. So they fire you in a very corporate professional way. Security walks you out with your file box full of things. Did you, I assume you stole the stapler. What did you do after you were fired, like right away? Did you, I know there's a coaching piece of this, but at the beginning, did you look for another job or where were you in this? Like, what were the first sort of steps you did? Were you still in training for coaching?
So yeah, that's a it's about a 6 to 12 month program. So I was about 2 months into that, and so I was like, well, I'll get another job, do the
Okay.
responsible thing, get an income, and work my way through, and eventually coach, right?
Okay.
And I interviewed, and every interview that I had, I was offered the position, and the first one I said no. There's something in my gut. Now I'd already had this experience with the mentors I was working with the coaching stuff that was like talked about alignment, intuition. These are not words that were like common in my language up to that point. And so I was a little more aware. I mean, awareness always kind of like is that first step to change, right? And I
Yeah.
was a little more aware of the fact that, okay, this doesn't feel right. And so I said no. So in the second interview, I got the job. And again, I was like, something doesn't feel right about this one. So and I was in the process of literally going, okay, I'm going to sell my house, cut my expenses so I can build this business. But I was still trying to do the responsible thing. So like you got the battling, two
Yeah.
battling parts of us that's like, do the responsible thing. Go for it. Go for the business. You know, bet on you. The third interview was really what put the like nail in the situation to make me go for my business and bet on me. Was the guy who got on the call was someone I used to work with at Potbelly. And he was like, oh, I don't need to interview you. I love you. Like, I'd hire you in a heartbeat. And so he's like, but he started asking me, like, what's going on in life? And I started talking about the coaching. And he's like, so what do you really want to do? And I was like, well, eventually I'd love to like run this business, have a business doing this. He's like, well, how much money do you have? And I was like, this is a really weird, interesting interview question, right? And I said, well, I said, it's funny you ask because I'm selling my house and we're cutting expenses and blah, blah, blah. And I went through the whole story. I was like, I could live a year on what I have right now between the money and between like cleared my credit cards and another divine intervention, in my opinion, of like things, everything was set in a really nice way. And he goes, well, great. I'll hire you in a year. He goes, go try out the business and get back to me. If it doesn't work out, I'll hire you. And I was like, huh, that was permission granted that I wasn't
That
giving
is
myself.
really interesting. Yeah. That was
Yeah.
like that he was like, I'll hire you in a year. So then, wow. Okay, that is really interesting that he would it, because then it was a little security blanket. Like I can
Yeah.
try this and if it doesn't work out. So, do you have any history of being in business for yourself or family members that own businesses or anything like that that would have been examples for you before this time? Like had you ever occurred to you that that was an option or, you know, like many of us, it's like everybody we, you know, if everybody you know has a job, that's all you see.
Yeah. So that's a great question because it's twofold. It's positive and negative to have the experience. My dad had a construction company growing up, and he's a third grade education farm boy from Canada, and he came to this country and he built it. Didn't speak English. My mom taught him English and stuff, and he built it on his own after going through lots of, you know, working for lots of people that just abuse. He's like, my mom's like, just go do it yourself, you know? So he built it and I watched it grow really significantly. And then I watched it go bankrupt. And then I
Oh,
watched it grow again. And then I watched it go bankrupt again. And so our family, like out of the six kids in mine and the two step kids, I'm the only one who ever considered business. Everybody else was like, heck no, not after seeing that, you know?
I
So
get that.
I loved how much my dad created from nothing and being able to watch that, but then also scared because I'm like, I watch, and that's a lot of turmoil in the relationship and stuff. Mom passed away when I was five, but my stepmom's been in my life until she passed last year. She was in my life for like 40 years, you
Yeah.
know? And so that was something that I tried, like Primerica at one point. I tried like I was, people wanted me to do multi-level marketing and I was just like, no, not really, you know, this and that. But when this hit, it was like, it gave me the opportunity to like be me and do something like based on me that I like did for so, like when I ran a restaurant, you should just put my name on the top. Like when I ran, they'd be like, it's Jackie's Place. It's not Starbucks. It's not Potbelly. It's Jackie's Place. And I was like, yeah, because I'm going to own a Jackie's Place one day. So I talked about a restaurant my whole life. Never did it because I also knew I'd be tethered to it. I'd have no life.
Yeah.
So there was some fear around business, but I was the only kid who got intrigued by business too.
So you did have a backup. So like one of the things that was in my mind when I was writing this, because I didn't know any of your family history and things, but there is that weird statistic, that when you cannot mention the word business without somebody telling you, which is that 95% of new businesses fail. Right. And it's like always out there. And so, like, you grew up watching the reality of, you know, that it really can happen. So, what do you, when you hear that, like, I don't know, probably people don't say that to you now, but when you hear somebody say that, hey, well, 95% of businesses fail, what does it bring up for you, having watched it and also built a business for yourself?
I don't, yeah, that's a, that can go, that can be emotional on one side, but it also could be exciting because I'm here, sitting here 6 years later, still with a business, a
Okay.
successful business. And so I think that it's important for people to understand that this isn't like easy peasy lemon squeezy. Like there's more of an inner game that has to get done on this side of building a business than the external, the doing part, you know? And so, yeah, that's a good question. I might have to
Okay.
process that one a little bit more because I get excited. I was very proud, and I tell my dad's 93 right now, and he's got like a little bit of onset dementia. But he gets so upset with himself for how things went. And I'm like, Dad, you came here with nothing, with a third grade education, got pulled off as oldest of 10 and helped your father run a farm with a father who was, you know, alcoholic, bad stuff. I was like, and you created your own business. Like I always was
Yeah.
so like blown away by the power of that, but there was still that fear of like going for it until 6 years ago.
Yeah, the
So
fear of going for it because you've seen people fail. I think that it is, it's an interesting thing. It's like, yeah, it just is, it can go either way, 100%. Okay, so now you described the day you got fired as the best day of your life, which people can probably figure out, but I'm going to give you a chance to really lean into it and tell that side of the story. It's the best day of your life because this is when you leaned into you and decided to go into business for yourself. So, did you feel like it was the best day of your life? right away. You felt the lightness in your shoulders, but you didn't quite understand it. How long did it take to show up before you were like, this was good. This was the greatest thing that could have happened to me.
Yeah. They always say you don't know until you know. So I'm not sure exactly like when that the epiphany came. So I decided after going through those interviews and when that guy kind of said that to me, and I went, oh, wow, okay. So I took 6 months off from and I did the schooling and I really got like my all my practice clients in and stuff. But I took 6 months off to travel too, because I wanted to taste what this life would be like and started to like step into the version of the life that I desired, because I never took more than a week off in 30 years, right? I never said that I always put the like, I can't afford that kind of thing, or maybe I should hold off on that and put like my dreams on hold. So I was like, you know what? We're gonna taste it. Once you taste it, like I gotta tell you, you cannot go back. The freedom, I traveled 7 different places. Some was just to Jersey and to friends, you know, but it was traveling on my own time without having to ask for permission from anyone. I gave myself permission to do it. And that was two things that hauled a lot of us back, including myself during the past. And so I was like, huh, if I can do that, then like I never want to go back to that. Like I never want to go back to being restricted on my time, restricted on what. But the other piece that really solidified it too was it really I didn't like to be with myself. Work was my like avoidance of self for so many years. And what I learned, because when you learn like coaching, you're your first client. And so it very much went inward and was like shined a light on everything that I was avoiding. And at the time, my now husband, we were in year three of our relationship, and we're 9 years in now. And we were broken up pretty much. Like we were living in separate rooms during this process because some like we just I was constantly gone. I'd come home unhappy. I'd take it out on him, and like in a nice way, quote unquote, as I put quotes around that. Like I'd do it in like the Jackie, like, oh, you could do so much more. You could be great. You could, and I kept pointing my finger at him, trying to fix him when I'm the one who was like a hot mess and didn't really see it. I didn't see it because I was so in my foggy life, if you want to call it. So, the aha of not going back really came probably about 6 months in, and my unemployment stopped coming, and I was like, huh, I should probably make some money. And so I hired my first like one-on-one coach, because I'm a firm believer of the direct attention on you. Like we can there's a lot of great group programs, but that direct attention on you in the beginning when you don't have money and you don't think you should invest in it is probably the most important investment of your life. Because it helps you really, like, I told her I wanted to help me build a business, and she giggled and laughed at me a little bit because she knew what really had to happen. I didn't realize that I needed to like peel back some layers and heal and like cry and feel and all this like inner stuff that I didn't think had anything to do with business, right? But the first 9 months of my journey with my first coach was like getting to know myself and getting to love myself and getting to trust myself and believe in myself. And I'm a pretty confident woman in the restaurant industry because I did it for 30 years and I was so good at it. But I avoided myself through working so much. That was my identity. I didn't know what my identity was outside of that. And so that's all the stuff we worked on. Then the strategy worked. Then all the thing, like the strategy piece, that 20% worked. But I had to go through crying on my bed for 9 months. I looked at her one day and I was like, I didn't sign up for this. What's going on? Like, this is 9 months of crying on my bed. There's stains of tears.
So you said two things there that are really, I think, very important. One is you just threw it in there that is, you don't know until you know, right? That's and I think that a lot of times we are looking for people to tell us what's going to work and what we should do, and we avoid that thing, which is like, there's no way to know until you actually do some of it, like, yourself. Right. And the other thing that I think is really interesting that I want to ask you about before we talk about what you do is you realized in this process that you were using a very demanding job to avoid being with yourself. Did you have any idea that you were doing that when it was happening?
Absolutely not, because I was always happy, Jackie. And on the outside, like people are like, she's great. She's got it all together. And I call myself a recovering I got it girl. And there's a book that's in process of being written about this because I was living life, and we all of us create these survival mechanisms as we grow up, whether it's child, and I was coming from this place of control, like absolute, like I got it. I don't need anybody's help. I felt like I was like, because since I was 7, I had to figure out if I wanted to eat, I'd have to cook. If I wanted to need clean clothes, I have to do laundry. Like there was nobody home, even though there's so many siblings, it was just me because they were all older and kind of doing their own
Yes, the
things, right?
last one is home alone. It's a wild
Right.
thing. Yeah, the older ones have all the little people and all the family around. They are my youngest is graduating from high school, and twice this year I have reached out to his siblings and I've been like, dudes and kiddos, you need to show up because we dragged him to all
Oh, that's
your
so good.
events. Like you were, he was at yours because he didn't have a choice. And now everybody, right? Like he was, and I was like, but he's alone, like so.
Yeah.
Get your tushies back here. And they have.
That's so good. That's so good that you recognize that. Because and I'm grateful because it made me the fiercely independent woman that I am and paid for everything since I was, that little job that we talked about, paid for
Yeah.
everything, never got it, like never asked for a dime. And my parents, I know, loved me profusely. There wasn't like a lack of love. It was just they were too busy. And then
Yeah.
I be so then the stories of abandonment and the stories of being a burden. So I like protected myself. And then like everybody leaves, like all these things like that I discovered later on through my journey, the last 6 years of healing and stuff, is that that created this woman who was fiercely independent from a place of control and survival and fear of like ensuring, and I had a good life. Obviously, I traveled the country and I like met all
Yeah.
these great people, and I had, and there was no like trusting that someone else could support me, like letting somebody else love me. Oh my gosh, it took until year 7 of our relationship that I actually let my husband fully love me and let myself fully love him, and then we got engaged. Not no 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 coincidence that 2 months later he asked me to marry him once we got to this point of like truly letting each other love each other, because we both had our walls, our barriers, whatever, and stuff. And I'm that we're still standing blows my mind sometimes, so but the yeah so I forgot, I kind of
So we
diverted from the
started,
question
yeah, no,
probably.
you were there. It was like, did you know that you were doing it while you were doing it? Which I think that it is, it's always happening in every, in all these different things. And we think that transitions come in these big, brightly labeled, well-defined boxes. And sometimes they do. Retirement, high school graduation, college graduation, weddings, divorces. Those are boxed up and defined. But there's all these other transitions and changes that are happening all the time, minute by minute of our life. And we're simultaneously living our life and trying to figure it out at the same time. That's always happening. It's like I've been bowled over it myself, like, so many times. It's like, what do you mean? I'm doing that. I would know if I was doing that, but no, you never can. You never can. Right? You never can.
And there's so
So
many, you probably get this, this like I geek out over myself now. Like I had someone say that to me, like, you really geek out over yourself. And in a good, in this way that's like, so like, oh my gosh, I just thought this way and I used to think this way. And I'm so like, I can't believe, like, that's so cool. Like I responded instead of reacted. Or like I geek out of every awareness and aha, because back to the original thing of I didn't know that I wasn't feeling my feelings. I have a 30-year history of bulimia that like became my survival mechanism to process my feelings, because there was nobody there to teach me that, and there was no, I didn't have any bonds with teachers or anything like that. So like if I got angry, I did one thing. If I got lonely, I did another thing. And it was like that's how I processed emotions. And it was like 47 years old, I realized, oh, there's a new way to do this.
yeah.
47, 48, when I started the journey, I was able to see that like it's safe to feel. It's safe to be alone. Like I hated being alone. So I was networking before networking existed in my life. I'd invite all these people so I wouldn't be alone, to like hang out and go to dinner and call all my girlfriends and see who shows up. And then all the, I don't know, like I didn't realize how much I was avoiding myself by putting myself out to help everybody else until I realized I was avoiding myself
Yeah.
and not loving myself. And that I would tell you, that foundation of really getting to like yourself, and then eventually love yourself, and eventually like see that like you have to be that number one focus so that everybody really gets the best version of you. That's what changed like everything. It changed the quality of people I have in my life. It changed my relationship. It changed my health. It changed everything.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do, quote unquote, with business.
Right. Although I will say that being able to love all those earlier versions of yourself gives you the, or gives
Yes.
me the credit that the I can walk into a room, I can be like, I'm gonna like some of these people. Some of them are gonna like me. Some are not. So what? You know, and you
Yeah,
can move through.
absolutely.
And it is an interesting situation. People who are like listening to this that don't know us, like if you drop Jackie and I into a conference room with 300 other people, we find each other, just so anybody's not wondering, on the dance floor in the middle of like a party
Yes,
is where
yes.
we're, oh, there you are, nice to see you, let's have fun. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So in the minute we'll do final questions, but I do want to give you a chance to specifically tell people who are listening what you do and who you do it for, how you help people, and how they can find you online.
Awesome. So I call myself now the being coach, and literally, and this is how much our life is ever shifting, right? And your business, if you choose to go this route in business, it's like, just last year I had the whole year of adversity. I had, dealing with, I took care of dad with dementia, mom in the hospital and facilities, and I chose all of these things. I wasn't required to. I chose to like go back and do these things because of the life I created with my business. I was able to step away from my business, and that was the year of massive adversity, and it taught me like so much. Like I've grown so much with like surrendering and trusting and all these other things. And so I finally like own, even just this year, I shifted the fact that like, yes, I can help with strategy, I can help with that, but ultimately I'm the one who helps you be who you are through awakening, empowering, and owning who you are, like unapologetically in this world. It's not what we were talking earlier, you said something about like, it's not external sources telling you what, it's you finding it within you. Because how annoyed I was when I first heard everything you need is inside of you. You're like, yeah, sure. But it's so true. I get it now. Like I didn't get it, right? But I was
That's
like,
when
you
you know
want
you're talking to the right person, though. Actually, when
to.
somebody says something to you and you're like, shut up, no. And then you turn
Yes.
around and you're like, well, maybe.
Okay,
Would that actually be
fine.
right?
The human's like, no. And the soul's like, sure, okay. Yeah, and I just think that like I didn't I so I help people now really just I just came back from a retreat as we're doing this, like literally 2 days ago, and helping women, just badass women who are successful 22-year business owners and stuff, and then just seeing them like break down and really find parts of themselves that they never ever knew ex that they could access or never allowed to come out. Because girl, I gotta tell you, we have this woman inside of us that's dying to come out and play, and we don't let her. So let her come out and play. And so I really, that's my journey. Like I really help women just simplify life and create the life they truly love and fit the success and money into it, not the other way around, by owning who they are and recognizing what that is. But if you said to me 6 years ago, you gotta like own who you are and like this kind of stuff, I'd be like, who, what? Like I wasn't woo whatsoever that either. Like now I'm like universe and then spirit and all the things, and I'm like, what? So I do that through, I have a membership. I have like an easy button membership that is currently, in a $55 range per month that you can get support every week. But then I also have my deep dive one-on-one coaching that I highly suggest that people do in the beginning. And then I run two retreats a year, and then I run different groups throughout the year when I feel it. So I'm running one called Stripped right now. It's a mastermind, and it's really like we dive deep into each other, into each other's stuff, like deep, and peel back the layers that is hiding. I say, so everyone's joking like, oh, I'm getting a little more naked. Like this layer just came off. I'm getting a little more, because we just hide the things because we just don't realize how important. I mean, we've all heard the saying probably, and maybe you haven't, but we're stuck in this jar and we need someone to help us read that label on the jar.
That's right.
Like
It's
we are,
impossible to lead the label
yeah.
from the inside. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Can't
So,
read.
and then you
Yeah.
can find me. I always tell people, come be friends with me on Facebook, because my Facebook is legit like a digital diary of my life. Like there's nothing I don't share. When you ask the question, is there anything that you don't want to answer? Nope. Like you can take me just like you. You'll meet me here, and I'm the same person when you meet me in person. Like, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Like, I am who I am, and I own it unapologetically. And so Facebook's really the domain that people really love my journey, my nomad stuff, all the things. And I'm on other platforms too, but that's kind of the one that all of my stuff pours out of me into Facebook.
Very cool.
I'll be walking down in a walk and I'll start crying. I'll be walking by the river because like water makes me cry. I'm not really sure why. And I like go live. And I'm like, I'm down by the river. I gotta share
Crying.
this aha. And I'm bawling for no reason, but I'm happy. It was just funny. So
Right, so you have a special offer for the listeners that I'll share. It's called a free deep dive vision call. The value is $555. That's a very generous offer. The link for that is in the show notes, as well as a link to the website. You can find Jackie on Facebook. I follow her on Facebook. She and I are connected. I do recommend it. The easiest way to get that link is to be a subscriber to Imperfect Adulting email, but it is in the show notes and on YouTube, anywhere you want it. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Jackie, are you ready for the final three questions?
yes, because there's
Don't be
unknown. I
scared.
love the unknown. Bring it on.
Don't be, these are just for fun. All right. So when I wrote this, I wasn't sure if you were still doing the nomad thing because last year, your year was different. And, you know, my connection to you is primarily online, although we do reconnect in places, exciting places like Idaho. All right. What is the most inconvenient thing about life as an RV nomad?
Originally, it was internet. Because it was like you never knew what you're gonna get. I would be doing mini calls and Paneras and coffee shops and stuff because you just never know what area. We did a lot of traveling the first 2.5 years. Like we would go every 21 days to a new place. So it'd be like rolling dice. Like, all right, is my AT&T gonna work or is my Verizon gonna work or is it gonna be? That was the first thing. The other the now that we've been stationary the last year and a half, we've been because my husband took a job out in the Colorado area. It's the inconvenience. The space is big. It's 44 feet. It's big and then it's small at the same time. So, like, I'll go travel places and live in real houses with real bedrooms and real bathrooms and real kitchens. And I come home and I'm like, honey, we need to get rid of all our stuff. Like, it's too cluttered. He's like, it's 44 feet. Like, I don't know how much less, like, you can do it. So it depends on the moment and the mood.
That must be, that just must absolutely be, I have never done it. So the idea of living in such a small space full time is something that I will have to discover at a later date, but I did want to ask. All right. So if you're going into a room of people you've never met before for anything, then just imagine it. Would you rather be overdressed or underdressed, like formal or casual kind of thing?
I'm a casual girl. More so, like you won't find me in heels. I'll be in like, flip-flops or sneakers or something. And that just makes I want to be in something that just makes me feel like me
Okay.
and not in a sense. Now, have I felt really cool in like the dressed up outfit and everything like that? Absolutely. But if I also feel like if I'm like, oh my gosh, is that like sitting just right? Like if I'm
Right.
uncomfortable in something or was like, okay, like is my boob hanging out? Like, if I'm trying to be too overdressed, I guess for me, it's kind of like the mood that I'm in re really reflects. The mood that I'm in really reflects what food I grab, what this, that, all the things. And not in a bad mood or good mood, more so like, do I feel like, do I feel sassy with a tight fitting dress? Or do I feel set? Or do I feel like jeans and like a shirt and a blazer? Like what feels good to me today? And I always listen to that. And then I trust that whatever I'm wearing, that's not going to determine how someone perceives me. Like
Okay.
what I'm, because I am my own light, my own perception. And if I'm coming in with an energy that's, true and genuine and beautiful, then that's what I'm going to get. If I come in being a jerk, I'm going to like get the reflection,
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. I love that answer. All right. Third and final, if you won $100 million in the Powerball lottery today, what is the first thing you'd buy?
Jeez. The land, okay, the land. Lakefront property that I have been dreaming and visualizing for the last 6 years. And the property has to be large enough to have the lake house that I want with the mountain view, plus the retreat center, plus the RV park, plus all my husband's little dreams of like a storage unit place, a dog facility, oil and tire change place. So like it's gonna be our own mini village. But primarily, like I've had dreams. I've woken up with like tiny home villages with like a retreat center in the center. And here's the funny part. Just 2 weeks, about a month ago, 2 weeks, 4 weeks ago, I did the psychic reading, and this woman's a 70-year-old Mississippi woman, and she's like, need to be in the metaphysical world, and like she's like yelling at me, but she's like, you need to bring people together who do this kind of stuff. And again, 6 years ago, didn't know what any of this stuff was, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, I've had the vision she just described. She literally described like my constant dream of what I want to create one day, between the RV park and the retreat center, and places people to a destination place. Of course, there'll be Jackie's Place restaurant too on there. Not to make money, but to have fun.
To have fun. All right. Very good. That's it. Jackie Cote, you have been a wonderful guest today on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.